says, this week I thought, since he has some very nice Torah on Mar Cheshvan, and Mar Cheshvan is probably the month, arguably the month that is least understood, so I thought it would be kedai to learn about Mar Cheshvan today, and then we'll do some of his Torah from Parshas Lech Lecha tomorrow, which is also really beautiful. Okay, let's start from the beginning of Mar Cheshvan. We'll jump around a little bit. But we'll start on page 24. Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, you can see towards the bottom half of the page, Os Aleph. B'shem HaRav HaMagid MiKoznitz. He begins by quoting the Koznitzer Magid, Rav Yisrael of Koznitz. Rav Yisrael of Koznitz, the Koznitzer Magid. What was the name of his sefer? Who knows? Koznitzer Magid, Avodas Yisrael. Okay, it's a very famous and important Hasidish sefer. The Koznitzer Magid said the following. Lama Nikra Shemo Mar Cheshvan. Why is this month called Mar Cheshvan? How many times does the word Mar Cheshvan appear in Tanakh? You got it right. Zero. Zero times. Mar Cheshvan is not of Jewish origin. It's not a word that appears in Tanakh. The Torah refers to Mar Cheshvan as the eighth month, if you're counting from Nisan. It would be the second month if you're counting from Tishrei. Mar Cheshvan was a name that we picked up in Galus Bavel. And yet, all the tzaddikim say, we could still learn, it was Bashkacha Pratis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us or allowed us to adopt these names. These are the names that we use for the month. And therefore, the names themselves become very significant, even though their origin is not necessarily of Jewish, of Torah origin. Okay, so what is Mar Cheshvan? What does the word mean? What does it hint to? So the Kodesh Magid explained, why do we call this month Mar Cheshvan? Now, I want to just point out, before I tell you what he's about to say, I want to point out that there's a lot of there. You'll see, if you look into Svarim that talk about Mar Cheshvan, you'll see the following idea brought from different tzaddikim, all more or less saying the same thing, each in their own unique way. But I want, for those who, you know, for those who like to take notes and those who like to grow their Torah knowledge, so you should just be aware, I just want to point out, that the Koznitzer Magid is not the only one to say this idea. Okay, if you look in the writings of the Tzemach Tzadik from Vizhnitz, so he brings this idea in the name of Rav Yisrael of Rizhin, the Rizhner, whose Yahrzeit just passed. In the Imre HaRim, it brings it in the name of the Chidush HaRim, the first Ge'er Rebbe. And in the Siach Sarfei Kodesh, it brings it in the name of Rav Simcha Bunim of Pershischa. So you have a lot of different tzaddikim all saying this same Yisod. The Chidush HaRim said it, if you look in some Svarim. The Rizhner said it, if you look in some Svarim. If Simcha Bunim of Pershischa said it, if you look in some Svarim. And if you look in our Sefer, the Yismach Yisrael, he tells us that the Koznitzer Magid said it. Okay? What did they all say about the name Mar Cheshvan? Take a look. Sha'atfilos mehayamim no ra'im misrach shin od besif sod Yisrael. Mar Cheshvan is like what? It's similar to the word misrachshin. What does that mean? Sha'atfilos mehayam noram. That the tfilos, the songs, and the words, and all the davening of Tishrei and Elul, are still misrach shin od b'sif sadi yisrael, are still murmuring on our lips. That's why sometimes you catch a Jew after Yom Kippur, he's still walking around humming Yom Kippur tunes. Right? He still feels connected to all of the tfilos. So, Mar Cheshvan is a lashon of what? The Gemara in Maseches Chagiga uses such an expression that the sifase misrachshin, that the lips are still moving. The lips are still moving. What's this idea of the lips are still moving? Very deep idea. The lips are still moving in Cheshvan. So for those who are here on Sunday, we learned that Mar Cheshvan is typically the month where people start to slow down. People start to chill out a little bit. People are not as focused as they were in Elul and Tishrei when they felt they were preparing for the Yom HaDin, when they were cleansing themselves of Nei Hashem Titaru on Yom Kippur. We're focused. Mar Cheshvan, we start to slip away. You can understand Mar Cheshvan as we're mumbling, we're not davening as clearly anymore, or you can also understand it in a positive sense that the tefillos are still on our lips. We're still trying to hold on to, like we spoke about on Sunday, a Roshem. We learned from the Tzemach Tzvila Tzadik on Sunday, the Bluj of a Rebbe. He says that Mar Cheshvan, I'll just tell you a remez for those who aren't here, Mar Cheshvan is Roshem Nun Ches. Roshem means the imprint or the mark that was made by Nun Ches, by the 58 days of Elul and Tishrei. There's 29 days in Elul, 29 days in Tishrei. And then they make a roshim, they leave a mark. The Tzvila Tzadik, the Bluj of a Rebbe. It's G'day if you have the time to listen to Sunday's shir. Some really important yesodos in Mar Cheshvan, as a chever we were able to discover. So the idea is that there's a roshim, that there's a trace of something. So that's what I mean. The lips are still moving, the lips are still murmuring. There's still a little bit. There's still a little bit that's hanging around. We're trying to hold on to something. That's what Mar Cheshvan's about. Trying to hold on to something that we had a month ago. In Tishrei, we had it. We felt that we were in the presence of Hashem. We sat in the sukkah. We felt connected. We walked around with a lulav and esrog. The Gemara says that the people of Yerushalayim would walk around all day with their lulav and esrog. We were connected. We had something in our hands. It was tangible. We lived in the sukkah. We changed the whole way that we live our lives. We changed our schedule to daven slichos, to get up early, to stay up late. Right? We spend a lot of time in shul. And we're thinking about tshuva. So we're connected. Now, it's all over. But says, the Kajus Tzer Magid, Mar Cheshvan, it's still on our lips. The tefillos are still Misrachshin Od B'Sifsa Di Yisrael. Okay, have you with me? It's a deep idea. Let's see what it means. Let's go a little further. Ubira Inyan Yesh Lomar, Dinodada Tziruf Mishem Havaya Baruchu, Hameir B'Chodesh Hazeh, Hivav Hei Yud. Okay? Now, one of the reasons why it's really important to come to Shir every day, whether it's Chassidus or Bava Kama, is that if you miss certain ideas, I have to review them every time because I'm worried that someone doesn't know what I'm talking about. Some guys have heard this like 1,000 times already, so I apologize to those who have heard it 1,000 times already. But if you take Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, for those who are less familiar, you don't want to leave anyone behind. If you take Hashem's most basic name, Yudke Vavke, right? God's name, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. If you take that name and you rearrange the letters, how many different combinations can you make from those four letters? 12 combinations. And therefore, Sifrei Chassidus and Kabbalah tell us that every month has a different arrangement of Hashem's name that corresponds to that month. What month is Hashem's name in order, in the proper Seder? Nisan. Nisan is a time of Seder. It's the Pesach Seder. The world is springtime. The world looks the way it's supposed to look. A tree's not supposed to look dead with its leaves falling off. It's supposed to look beautiful and lush. Okay, so Nisan is a time where the world is in a natural, is returning to its proper order. So Hashem's name for Nisan is Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Hashem's name in order. What month is Hashem's name backwards? Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz, right, is the time of Midas Hadin. It's a time of the 3 weeks. Some would say it's Chodesh Av, but Chodesh Av is not all that bad, because Chodesh Av, starting on the 15th of the month, Tu B'Av, is one of the greatest holidays, the Mishnah says. So Tammuz is Hashem's name backwards. Okay, each month has an arrangement of God's name. It's a very deep idea, and it reveals to us a lot of secrets about the month. What is the shame of Hashem for the month of Mar Cheshvan? Look inside. So he says, the Tziruf Mishem Havai. I want you to learn how to learn these Sfarim on your own. The Tziruf means the arrangement. Tziruf means the arrangement of the Shem Havaya. It's known. It's well known. Meaning if you're familiar with these Svarim, you know what he's talking about. He's telling us we should know. This song we should know. We should know that the arrangement of the name of Havaya, Havaya, Hey, Vav, right? That's we don't say, it's just saying Shem Hashem. The name, the arrangement of Shem Hashem, Hameir b'chodesh hazeh, that illuminates this month. The name of God that is unique to this month, or the arrangement of the letters of Hashem's name for this month, he tells us is Vav, Hey, Hey, Yud. You see it? And it's hinted to in the Pasuk, or really two Pasukim, in Dvarim Perach HaVav, Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. You see it? Udvash starts with a Vav, Hayom starts with a Hey, Hazeh starts with a Hey, and Hashem, right, Yud Kei Vav Kei starts with a Yud. So Vav, Hey, Hey, Yud. That's the pasuk that hints to this arrangement of God's name that corresponds to this month. What does that strange little phrase, Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem, have to do with Mar Cheshvan? So that's what we spent a lot of time talking about on Sunday. However, one of the things that we see in this pasuk, Hayom Hazeh, what does the pasuk say? Hayom Hazeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha. Today God is commanding you. Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, today God is commanding you. So a Jew standing there raises his hand and says, excuse me, Moshe Rabbeinu, That's not true. God commanded us at Har Sinai. It was a long time ago. Explains Rashi, what does it mean? Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha lasos. Chazal amru, Chazal explained, Rashi quotes it. B'chol yom yiyu be'enecha chadashim. Ki'ilu bo ba'yom nitztavisa. A Jew should approach Torah as if what? Today it's given to me for the first time. If you're feeling, you know, bored and you're learning, just do like we learned in Sichas Aran yesterday, like Rabbi Nachman taught us. Just start fresh. Start fresh. Don't build on the fact that I missed the last 3 days of Shir and now I feel really out of it. Don't pretend this is the first day of Shir. Hayom, today's the first day. It's all good. Show up with the same excitement as if the Torah is being given to me for the first time. That today it's being commanded of me. It's Savisa, I'm being commanded in it. So what does that mean? What does it mean that today I should view every day as if it's the first day I've been given the Torah? So if you remember, we learned yesterday a very important technique in tshuva. What was the technique we learned yesterday in tshuva from the Avodas Panim? We learned, don't let the wall become thick. Who can explain what I mean by don't let the wall become thick? What did we learn yesterday? No? Exactly. Yeah, let's hear.
Every time you're doing a bear,
right?
So an Avera
builds a wall between you and Hashem. And if you don't do tshuva after you do the Avera, and you do another Avera, and another Avera, another Avera, the wall becomes, that distance, that separation between you and Hashem becomes solidified. But if I do an Avera and I do tshuva right away, so the wall is still flimsy, the separation between me and God is very small, I could punch a hole right through it and get back to Hashem. But if I let it build up, then it becomes thick and it becomes difficult to penetrate. So he says the same exact idea here. Look what he writes here. It's amazing. He says, what I've explained to you previously in my writings on Shabbos Shuva. Be'inyan mehus ha-tshuva. Let's learn again something about the essence. How does tshuva work? Well, how much tshuva do I need to do for any particular avera? Well, it depends on the avera. The more significant the avera, the more I need to do tshuva. Right? The tshuva should be, in response, should be appropriately, it should share the same, you know, value in terms of its weightiness in accordance with the sin. Top of the left column, so he says, let me ask you a simple question about tshuva. What happens when you do an avera? Like we just explained, it distances you from Hashem. So how do you even know to do tshuva when you're far away from Hashem? It's being in the presence of Hashem that makes you want to be close to Hashem. But if an avera pushes you away from Hashem, so how do you even come to the recognition that I want to do tshuva? Look how he says it. Let's read it inside. Halo al yedei avera she'avar ha'adam osa la'atzmo mechitza. When you do an avera, you're building a wall. It's a mesa hamavdil beino levein avinu shvashamayim. Right? It's some type of structure that divides you and separates you from your Father in heaven. V'lo yuchal liros od or bahir hu b'shachim v'godel romamuso yisbarach shemo. I'm no longer able to identify what the light that's emanating from the higher heavens and the greatness of Hashem. Right? So tshuva comes from what? Tshuva stems from a place where I want to be close to Hashem, but if the avera is pushing me away, so how do I even come to the recognition that I want to be close to Hashem? Doesn't the avera prevent me from coming to that realization that I need to do tshuva? That's why the more you do averas, the more you don't even feel you have to do tshuva. You can meet a Jew who does tons of averas, right? You have one little avera that, and it's making you crazy. And this guy's got a million averas, he doesn't even think about it. Why? He should have much more, he should feel much more the need to do tshuva. The answer is he's built such a big wall that he doesn't even recognize that he needs to do tshuva anymore. Since you haven't distanced yourself so far from Hashem, you can feel it still. You're still spiritually sensitive. So therefore, says the Yismach Yisrael, Im lo yada lifnei mihu chata, if I don't even realize before whom I'm sinning, because I can't even see Hashem anymore because there's such a big wall, Vad kama godel ra'os ha'over al dvarav, and if I don't realize how bad it is that I'm not living a godly life, Vad kama gnus ma'aseyu, and I don't realize that living with my non-Jewish girlfriend and eating cheeseburgers and being Mechal Shabbos is literally poisoning myself. But I don't realize that because the wall that separates me from God is so thick that I don't realize it. It doesn't bother me anymore. A person could speak Lashon Hara occasionally, A person can become what the Chafetz Chaim calls a Baal Lashon Hara. A Baal Lashon Hara means a person who's such a habitual sinner, he's so used to speaking Lashon Hara, he doesn't even know that it's a thing anymore. He's in much worse shape than the guy who speaks a little bit of Lashon Hara. Right? But he doesn't even realize it if he's in such bad shape. He's so sick, he doesn't even realize how sick he is. So says the Yismach Yisrael, when we distance ourselves from Hashem, how do we wake up, how do we come to realize we need to do tshuva? Right? We're not even aware of the bitterness of the distance that we've created from between us and the true living God. So here's the punchline, here's the question. So if I'm in a state where I don't even realize that what I'm doing is bad anymore, so how do I possibly do a sincere tshuva? That's his question. You hear the question? Eich yuchal, four lines from the bottom. Eich yuchal lios hatshuva kefi erech achet. How can I do a proper tshuva when I don't care? I stopped caring a long time ago. So what's going to allow me, what's going to put me in a situation where I'm able to start caring again? That's our question. Chaver, what do you think the answer is? What's the answer? Yeah, what's the answer? Does everyone hear the question? So it's like a good philosophical question. If I do averas and the averas distance me from God, right, and yet the avera is supposed to create the possibility of tshuva, but the fact that I'm far from God, I don't even realize what I need to do anymore. So how am I possibly going to be able to do a sincere tshuva when I'm standing now at such a distance? Yeah, what do you think? Okay, so that's a big theme in Yismach Yisrael. Find that point within yourself that was never damaged by sin and rebuild from there, okay? Yeah, it's obviously a big theme in Chassidus in general, but Yismach Yisrael talks about that a lot, so to find that good point and to rebuild from there, okay? The other options that we learned yesterday, the Avodas Panim, don't let the wall build up, right? Meaning realize that if it's going to build up, you're right, Ein Hachanami, it's going to be hard to do tshuva. But if you catch yourself early on, right? If you catch yourself early on, then you never get into the situation where I'm so far from God and I don't even realize it. I'm so sick and I don't even realize it. The Baal Shem Tov said that the worst curse in the Torah, the worst curse in the Torah is the pasuk that says, "Va'anochi hastir astir panai mehem." I'm going to conceal my face from them. Why the double expression of concealment? Hastir astir. So the Baal Shem Tov said the worst state to be in. The Rashi in the Navi Yeshaya that says this is the scariest pasuk in all of Tanakh. But the Baal Shem Tov explained, you know why this is the scariest pasuk in all of Tanakh? Because you can be that God, there's a metzias, there's a reality where God hides himself from you, and the fact that God is hiding from you, that itself is hidden from you. You don't even know that God is hiding from you. If you know God is hiding from you, you should be terrified. If Hashem is not paying attention to you, that's the scariest thing in the world. That was the curse of the Nachash in Bereishis. Everyone asks, the Nachash, what kind of curse did the Nachash get? The Nachash was told that he's going to eat dirt, right? The snake was punished, you're going to eat dirt. Afar tochal kol yemei chayecha, you're always going to eat dirt. So you might say, well, I don't like the taste of dirt, so that's why it's a punishment. But the advantage of the Nachash is that what? Dirt is everywhere. And it's free. So God gave him tons of free food. You know how much time and life people waste on worrying about being able to put food on the table? That was an awesome bracha. The Nachash got free food. Why is that a curse? You know why it's a curse? What did the tzaddikim explain? Rav Meir from Mishlan, many other tzaddikim explained. You can't talk to Hashem anymore. God says, take the credit card, buy yourself whatever you want, don't talk to me. It's a huge curse. When God turns away from you. So Baal Shem Tov said, you know what's an even bigger curse? When it's what? Anochi hastir astir. When Hashem says, I'm going to hide the fact that I'm hiding from you. That you've become so distant from me, you don't even realize that we're not even connected. If you know that Hashem has turned away from you, at least that, okay, then if you're a person who has any sense of things, you strive to get back to God. But if you're so far that you don't even realize, if it's hidden from you, the fact that God is hiding from you, that's the biggest tragedy of all. What's the story that goes along with this? Who knows? It's in Leket Amarim. not in the volume we were doing last year. I think it's in the first volume. In Leket Amarim, he tells a story. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter tells a story about Rabbi Baruch of Mezhbush. Rabbi Baruch of Mezhbush's grandson came to him one time and he was crying. So he says to his grandson, what's wrong? So he says, he says to his grandfather, I was playing hide and seek with my friends. Okay, what happened? He said, I had this awesome hiding spot. Great hiding spot. And no one could find me. And I heard them, you know, like walking around the house, like looking in different places, trying to find me. And no one could find me. And then it got quiet for a while. And I said, you know, why is it so quiet? And I came out of my hiding spot. And I went outside. And I saw that my friends were down the block hanging out with some other kids. They just left me there. They left me in the hiding spot. They didn't even tell me, you know, game over, come out. And I was so upset. My friends ditched me to go play basketball down the block, or whatever they did in Mezhbush. So Rav Baruch Mezhbush started crying. So his grandson says, I didn't mean to upset. I'm so sorry. I feel, you know, okay, whatever. I was a little insulted by my friends. I didn't mean to make my grandfather cry. So Rav Baruch Mezhbush said, I'm sad for you, but that's not why I'm crying. I'm sad for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, because the exact same thing happens between us and Hashem. Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and went into hiding. And the Jews who saw that with their own eyes, they were so busy searching, they wanted to find Hashem, so to speak, and bring him back. But as time goes on, what? We lose interest in playing the game. Hashem is sitting in his hiding spot, and we're not even searching for him anymore. And that's a huge tragedy. So that's the question the Yismach Yisrael is asking. How do we not fall into that trap? If Averos push us away from Hashem, how do we stay in the game? How do I even know to get back to God? And the answer is, what was the name of Hashem from our Cheshvan? Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha Lasos. Hayom, right? What's the pasuk say? Hayom Hazeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha Lasos. It's sort of what Eliot said. You could find that good point inside yourself that never sinned. Or you could do like Rabbi Nachman said yesterday, which is what? Hayom Hazeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha Lasos. If you could somehow find that do-over, that restart button, if you could see yourself as today's your first day of being a Jew, then all of a sudden you can, you know, like skip levels. You could jump ahead. Meaning, if I'm standing here at a distance from God, I don't even know what to think about God. But if I could somehow tap into the opportunity to receive the Torah fresh, new every day, so now I'm not standing at a distance anymore. Now I come back to the starting point and I'm standing next to Hashem. Let's read it inside. We have to believe, right? Hashem's advice is to believe that kol haba lishfoch sicho umaras nafsho lifnei Hashem ulezvados alchata so asher chata. That if a Jew pours out his heart, right, he pours out his bitter heart before Hashem, and he confesses to his sins. Now again, I thought we had a question. He doesn't even know that he needs to do this. Right, well, what's going on here? How does this work? Tshuva rishon atzarech liyos. She yitzak el Hashem, top of page 25. Mekiras libo, she asir mimenu mesachim hamavdilim v'chotetzim beino lebein aviv shvashamayim. Sometimes a person can draw on a deep place and just scream out to Hashem, God, I don't even know what our relationship is supposed to be. I just know that I'm really far away. I don't even know what I'm searching for. I don't know how to find you. I don't know what you want from me. But a person just lets out a scream, he says, Mikiras Libo, from the depths, from the walls of his heart. And you're basically screaming, Hashem, tear down whatever's blocking me from even knowing what I'm supposed to. I don't even know what I'm supposed to feel. I have no clue what I'm supposed to feel. But I know I heard it's supposed to be something. I saw a from Jew who looked like a good person and a happy and healthy human being and a religious person. And I don't even know what he has, but I know I want that. I have no idea to get that. Standing at a distance, I have no clue what I'm doing. So a person lets out a scream, Hashem, please tear down that wall to allow me to at least what? Come before you. And if I stand before you, then I'll know what I need to do. And you're standing before the king tells you what to do. V'yakir al yedeze rom b'sashem izbach. Hashem, allow me to catch a glimpse of your greatness. V'oz yishtonin b'chul yosav kama rabba ras ha'adam mishahim re'es yotzo. I don't even know what I did, and I don't even know why what I did is bad. They tell me it's bad. I don't feel that it's bad. I don't know why doing the things you want me to do is good. I'm so disconnected. However, I'm crying out to you that I want to feel something. I want to be able to identify. Bichil Yosef means in my kidneys, in my kishkas. I want to feel internally the severity of the bad that I've done. I want to understand that I want to get back to a feeling where it felt bad to actually do averos. I'm so used to it, I don't even feel bad about it. And I don't know how to feel bad about it anymore because I'm just so numb. And I don't know how to do mitzvahs because I don't have no clue what you want from me. But I know that I'm in a bad place. So when a person calls out to Hashem and breaks through that wall, again, yesterday we learned don't let the wall build up so thick. Today we're learning it's possible for a person in a sincere desire and a sincere cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to knock down a big wall. I want to understand why it's so bad, why it's so mar, why it's such a bitter existence for a person to what? For a person to be pogim, to damage through my actions, the kavod hashchina, the honor of your presence. I don't see your presence in the world. It should become bad in my eyes, that which I did. It doesn't even feel bad. Do you know people like this? I do. I have Talmidim from back in the day who are living completely irreligious lives, and they don't feel it. Doesn't ask a person who's strayed from Yiddishkeit what it feels like now when you're Mechallel Shabbos versus what it felt like the first time you're Mechallel Shabbos. It's a very different feeling. Yeah.
Is there a point of no return?
No, there's no point of no return. I'm not a posek, but that's one area of halacha I feel comfortable paskening. I have a few piskei halacha. I always tell the chayyim, I have a few piskei halacha. I'm not into Jews owning dogs. That's one of my piskei halacha. I'm not into working on Chol HaMoed. That's right, Velva. I don't like working on Chol HaMoed. I think you should spend your vacation days on Chol HaMoed, not on a ski trip, even though skiing's great and fun. But I think if you have X number of off days, you should spend them on Chol HaMoed instead of relying on the heter to work on Chol HaMoed. And I paskin that a Jew could always come back to Hashem. So that's my most confident psak. There's no lo yidach imenu nidach. Lo yidach imenu nidach, the pasuk says that no one who is cast aside will be cast aside. Hashem will work it all out. Now you have to do your part. You have to be honest about it. Right? Well, what do you mean? What about the Gemara that says a person who says, I'm going to sin and do tshuva, that he's not able to do tshuva? All the Sfarim say he can still do tshuva. Well, what about the Zohar says, a person who God forbid, wastes seed, it's one of the most serious of eros, you can't do tshuva for such a sin. You could do tshuva for that also. You could do tshuva for anything. There's different ways to do tshuva. There's complicated ways to do tshuva. Hashem will find a way to get us all back to where we belong. Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek l'olam hab. Ah, but what do you mean? That's dishonest. Read the rest of that list. Ve'elu she'en lehem olam hab. They also have Olam Haba. Everyone can do tshuva. It's always a way to do tshuva. Okay? Yeah?
What happens if you try to do tshuva, but then you do it the wrong way?
Hashem will push you back to the right way. He'll come back in reincarnation. Hashem will work it out. Your soul will get worked out. Again, don't make Hashem do the heavy lifting. Right? In Pirkei Yavos, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells his Talmidim to go out and find the proper path, what's a good thing, what's the right way to serve God, what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do? So Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel says, that what's the path that a person should distance himself from? Halova ve'eno mishalim, a person who borrows and doesn't pay back. It's not just talking about a person who takes the Yismach Yisrael from Elliot Fuchs and doesn't pay him. It's not what it's talking about. That's also true. You should make sure you pay for the svarim. Right? But what it means is that when you borrow and you don't pay back, it means you took your soul is a piece of Hashem, kivyachol. You borrowed a piece of God and brought it down to this world and you stuck it into a body. You better pay for that. How do you pay for that? Mitzvos, maisim tovim, tefillah, defeating your Yetzirah. If you don't pay, Hashem says, okay, I'll pick up the tab. But that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take your soul and will find a way to try again or to cleanse it in a different way. There's a lot of different ways a person can get cleaned off. Yeah.
Is that tshuva or
they're related. To fix oneself is to... Tshuva means getting to where you're supposed to be. Tshuva is a return to self. It's not. People think of tshuva very often as returning to Hashem. It's returning to yourself. It's returning to the piece of God within yourself. It's being true Reclaiming the Self. Very good. Revelvo. Okay, anyone wants a good tshuva book? Rav Dov Ber-Pinson's Reclaiming the Self. Why would a deep thinker like Ber-Pinson name his sefer on tshuva Reclaiming the Self? Because that's what tshuva is, about getting back to yourself. About being true to yourself. So therefore, when a person feels far from Hashem, right? So he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now all of a sudden he starts to feel again. He starts to get a little sensation back. Now he can begin to actually regret what he did. At first he doesn't even know how to regret because he doesn't feel bad about what he did. He doesn't even know why it's bad. But once he cries out to Hashem and kicks down the wall, he breaks through the wall. Baal Shem Tov had so many mashalim and stories of, you know, using a key to open the door versus what? Versus a lev nishbar, a broken heart that's like a sledgehammer. Like an axe. You can break down the wall. And then he can come back to Hashem. So he says, that's the pshat on the pasuk. Now look at this. This is a beautiful pshat. You see where he quotes Eicha Parakei, about 8 lines down on page 25? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. You know the pasuk? You say it at the end of Eicha. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. What does that mean? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. So he says, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. The first thing that has to happen is what? Shenizcha b'tchila l'tshuva rishona. Shenira v'neida r'omusra yisbarach shomo. The first tshuva is what? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. I have to just recognize God again. I stopped playing hide and seek. I dropped out of the middle of the game to go do other things. Hashem is sitting in this hiding place and I stopped looking for him. So first, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. I cry out to Hashem, Hashem, let me just get back on my radar. I don't even see you at all. He finds again, how he gets to that point, I don't know. But he digs really deep and he says, Hashem, I don't even know that we're playing hide and seek. I stopped playing completely. So the first thing is I have to know that Hashem is out there and I'm trying to find him. That's step one. And then, v'nashuva, once I know that God exists, and then I start to realize that, oh my goodness, my lack of Shmir HaSinayim matters, my Lashon Hara matters, my Bittul Torah matters, my Chilul Shabbos matters, my mumbled Shmona Esrei matters. Once now God is in the picture again, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, now that God is in front of me once again, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, now that I can see, now that I'm living with an awareness that Hashem is even out there, then Vinashuva, then I can start to actually work on the details of my life. V'nashuva, v'achar kach nashuva, shorash achet, tshuva gemura, karoi v'chiyos. Then I can return fully to do a complete tshuva as is fitting and appropriate. Karoi v'yos, as is fitting and appropriate. What does all of this have to do with Mar Cheshvan? So he didn't really answer the question. I mean, he gave us a very inspiring picture here, but he didn't, you know, if we're going to be a little tough on our Rebbe for a moment, Yisbach Yisrael didn't tell us, where does this scream come from? How does a person who's so far away, like all of a sudden now he has this burning desire to be close to Hashem, he cries out in desperation to Hashem, now Hashem is back in focus, and now he can start fixing the things that he's done wrong. He starts to realize, oh my goodness, these things actually are bad. 5 minutes ago he didn't care at all. But now that he's brought Hashem back into his life, now he can start fixing the details. But how did he come to that? How did he even scream out? Like it said at the top of the page, Mikiras Libo, how did he scream out, God, tear down the wall? I want to be able to see you again. I want to at least know that I'm searching for you again. Even if you're hiding, I want to at least know that you're hiding somewhere on the other side of that wall. Give me a glimpse. Where did that come from? How did he come to that? How does a person have that awakening? So I find that one of the midos that is critical to be a true Baal Tshuva is humility. Because if you can't admit that I've been living a way that's just not the way I'm supposed to be living, that's such a hard, you know how humbling that is? For a person to say, for the last 20 years of my life, I've been living, it's much easier to rationalize my averos or to deny God than it is to say, God exists, and I have millions of averos, and I'm living in a way that's totally against my inner spiritual, you know, existence, and I'm destroying the world with my actions. To be able to say that takes a super amount of humility. To be able to say, okay, you know what? I've been living a mistake, and I want to change. That's unbelievably humbling. Whether it's, you know, like a grand revelation like I just described, the person who hits rock bottom and then says, I'm really going to change. Or whether it's a small thing that we've been rationalizing for a long time, a particular aspect where like, I don't care. And now all of a sudden they say, no, you know what? I have to start caring about that. That actually matters. That actually matters a lot. Bittul Torah matters. We don't think we ever talk about Bittul Torah in Shir. We never talk about Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah matters. Nah, it's like a very frum thing. It's too intense. I can't think about Bittul Torah. Don't tell me stories about the Vilna Gaon counting up like his, you know, the seconds he wasted from Torah over the course of the year. Because I waste that in like 5 minutes. Yeah. But it matters. So maybe we don't care. Maybe we don't care. So we have to cry out to Hashem. Help me to realize why I should care about that. And then when I start to care, then I can fix myself. But it takes humility. So look what he writes. He says, "Ve'etzel lezehu achna." And this is going to bring us back to Mar Cheshvan. What is the etzah? What advice can I tell you that you're able to come to that deep realization that I'm not even playing the game anymore? And beg Hashem, let me back in the game. Again, to get back in the game, I have a lot of work to do once I get back in the game. But let me at least get back in the game. How does one come to this? He says, "Ve'etzel lezehu achna." You see the word achna? What does achna mean? Humility, submission, surrender. As David HaMelech says, Kiram Hashem v'shafal yir'eh. God himself is very high, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very high, but shafal yir'eh, he sees the one who's low. Hashem will reach out to you, Hashem will give you a call if you act with humility. And it takes being humble to be put in one's place to realize that, you know what? I have to get back in the game. I'm out of the game. Hashafel roa romus Hashem yisparach. It goes in both directions. Not only does Hashem look down upon the one who's humble, but the humble one is able to see the greatness of Hashem. Because a Baal Gaiva thinks he's also great. I'm also great. So what kind of car I'm driving? You know how great I am because I drive that car? Do you know there's a custom-made suit? So he thinks it's a big show. You know how much money I have in the bank? You know how many people work for me? So when a person's in that kind of mode, it's very hard to recognize the greatness of Hashem. When a person is humbled, and a person reminds himself that he's flesh and blood, right? And in less than 100 years, all of us are going to be dead. In less than 100 years, everyone in this room is going to be dead. So that's, okay, now all of a sudden, okay, let's start thinking about something a little bit bigger than myself. And all of a sudden, I start to think about Hashem. As I think, what does it mean to serve Hashem, the MS? What does it mean to really serve God? Now, what does all this have to do with Baruch Hashem we're about to get back to? Max, what do you want to say?
You realize and connect yourself in a way, like in a deep way, you realize how amazing you can be. Then it's hard to like give yourself this like low. Like, the more you find out who you really are.
It's a good question. You're basically asking, how was Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Jew, also the most humble person ever? Seems to be very difficult to be self-aware and strive for greatness and be great, which we are, to be able to read a line in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin that says, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the world is created for me, and at the same time to be able to what? To say, I'm submissive. And the answer is, you can be really great, but you also have to know there's something much, much greater than you called the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's a hard balance. It takes a lot of maturity, spiritual maturity, to be able to strike a balance between what? Being authentically humble, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and also being someone who goes up Har Sinai to receive the Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and not let it go to your head. That's a really hard thing. That's a hard thing to do. I'm reading the biography of Rav Meir Zlotowitz, who was the creator of Artsrol. And he says he was a humble person. He knew who he was. He knew he had accomplished something really amazing, revolutionized the way Torah study takes place around the world. But he also writes and said many times that as a person grows and gains success in their business, in their whatever, in their ruchnius, you have to remember the small people, and you have to remember what it was like when you were one of the small people. Because Rav Meir Zlotowitz had some very dark periods of his life. He had a failing printing company and got divorced when he was 31 years old, left with a bunch of little kids. He went through a very dark and lonely stage of his life. So now he's, you know, the head of the company, he's very successful, both in terms of financially and spiritually. But you have to remember the guy who's just starting out. You have to remember what it was like to be in his shoes. You have to remember the struggle of that person. So Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, knew he was the leader of Klal Yisrael, and at the same time, he felt in a certain sense, not in a fake way, but in a real way, that everyone was greater than him. It's a very hard balance to strike. Okay? What does this have to do with Mar Cheshvan? Says the Yismach Yisrael, V'zeh Mar Cheshvan. This is Mar Cheshvan. Now, what did we learn before? We have one explanation of Mar Cheshvan so far. What was the first explanation of Mar Cheshvan? That the lips are merachshin. That the lips are still what? Murmuring. You're still trying to maintain a connection. Right? How does that fit with anything we've explained so far? I think if it's what we've explained so far, because again, in Tishrei, we were lifnei Hashem. In Tishrei, we were close to Hashem. Now in Cheshvan, we feel a little bit farther away from God. God is a little bit more obscured. So we need to find a way to get God back on our lips. We got to start talking about it again. We have to get it. Right? Our language has changed. The language of El and Tishrei was Hashamnu, Bagadnu, Slichos. Right? Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Vachanu. And that's what we were talking about. We got to get that on our lips a little bit again. We have to bring Hashem back into focus again. How do I do that? Says the Yismach Yisrael with humility. How is that hinted to in the word Mar Cheshvan? Look what he explains. V'zeh Mar Cheshvan milashon richsha derachish al ara. Unkelis translates the pasuk in Bereishis. Right? Chol haremes haromes al haaretz. What is remes haromes al haaretz? The creatures that crawl on the ground. When it's describing creation, the first paragraph of the Torah, it talks about the remes that is romes ala aretz, the creatures that are crawling on the ground. And what is unkelis? How does the Aramaic translation go? Richsha dirachish al ara. Richsha, like mar cheshvan. Rachash. Rachash means to be crawling on the ground. Right? Lowering oneself, humbling oneself. Hainu hachna b'tachlis. Crawling on the ground means what? What crawls on the ground? A worm crawls on the ground. A person who's completely humbled lowers himself all the way down to the ground. Like David HaMelech said, v'anochi tola'as v'lo ish. David HaMelech said, I'm a worm, I'm not a person. A person stands erect. A person carries himself with pride. V'lo zu b'vad lo ish anochi. David HaMelech says, not only am I not an ish, rak anochi tola'as. I'm a worm. Richsha derachish alara. I'm crawling around on the ground. So when a person has, and again, it's still not 100% clear how you have this moment of breakthrough, but when a person comes to the realization that I'm very far from Hashem. Now again, he doesn't know, he doesn't even feel that. He just somehow, he picks up on it somehow. Maybe it's like Eliot said, he draws on the point within himself that's entirely pure. Maybe he, I don't know, somehow he identifies that there's a wall. He has no idea what he's even trying to get to on the other side of the wall, but he's willing to, he says, you know what, I have to humble myself and do something, because this is not working. And that humility allows him, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, to bring God back into focus, and then, Venashuva, then he can begin the process of doing tshuva. So Mar Cheshvan is a lashon of humility. It's humbling oneself. Again, in Tishrei, Hashem is the Melech, and we're the Bnei Melech. We're the Bnei Melachim. In Cheshvan, it's not so easy to keep God in the focus, and it takes a certain humility, and it takes a certain ability to keep Hashem on your lips in order to make it happen. Okay, Ad Kan Os Aleph of Yismach Yisrael. Let's pause here in the first piece of Yismach Yisrael. Now it's getting pretty late, but we have to do a little bit more because we don't really understand Mar Cheshvan yet. Okay. So let's do a little bit more. Okay? Let's jump to Oz Beis in the left-hand column on page 25. Okay, let's move quickly. Isa b'Yerushalmi. It says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Sheimos hachadashim alu mibavel. The names of the month, I told you, are not of Jewish origin. The names of the months are from Bavel, they're of Babylonian origin. Hainu sha'avoseinu nishmasan eden hibitu merachok ba'acher seyamim. Our great forefathers saw from a distance what would be in the end of days, the ikvas of the Mashiach, in the steps, the days leading up to Mashiach, which we're living in right now. She had tokev hacheshkus, which is going to be a dark period. It's going to be a time of concealment, of darkness, of a crazy meshuggah world. A meshuggah world. The things that are being debated on the public stage, on the public sphere, in the public arena. It's crazy. You have to say every morning, Baruch atah Hashem, not just Shalom Asani Goy, Shalom, right? Thank you, Hashem, for not letting me go to any other college. Because for all the problems that we have here, we're not perfect, there's plenty of issues that we have here, things that need to be bettered and worked on, right? But compared to some other places, we've got our heads screwed on nice and tight. Still thinking straight enough. You know, there's mishugana stuff going on in the Welt. So it's a choshech letzichas ha'aretz. Right? So what did they do? How did our ancestors set us up for this period? Hofiu or hischazkus va'alios lahalos mechashkus lenefesh Yisrael. They found a way to be mechazek us, to shine some light upon us from a distance. How did they do that? Shiyel lehem b'malach hayos nafshosam ha'umlalim v'hanidkaim, that they gave us something with which to sustain our souls when we're umlal, when we're feeling depressed and nidkaim and crushed and down. V'ischazkus hu shebechol yom v'yom hu ischachus chadash. You know what they gave us? They gave us the recognition that what? That every day is a new day. Kihu ha'machadish betuva b'chol yom tavid ma'isa bereishis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift that's been transmitted to us by our sages to realize that Hashem is constantly recreating the world. And not only that, Uma gam mikroi kodesh shechozer akol metzios harishon. And Hashem gave us holidays throughout the year to give us chizuk. V'chein midei chodesh b'chadsho. And also every chodesh, yes, even the bitter mar cheshvan, right, mar, bitter cheshvan, which doesn't have any holidays, also is an opportunity. Uvizem orim rachmanos mishamayim ma'al. Why is it called Mar Cheshvan? Look what he says. V'zesh nikra rosh chodesh zeh Mar Cheshvan. Shemamtik Mar b'mar. Mar Cheshvan, why is it Mar? It's bitter. Well, then how are we going to get anything out of this month? No, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity what? To be depressed? Look what he says. Shemamtik Mar b'mar. That we sweeten the bitter with bitter. What does it mean to sweeten the bitter with bitter? So I'll tell you a personal experience that I think of when I think of sweetening the bitter with bitter. And I'll have to see if that's what he's even saying here. Right? Did you ever have a situation where something was bad and it got worse and you felt better? Anyone ever have that situation? I had that situation. I think of a very specific time that I had that situation. Before I was zochet to come to YU as a student for college, I told you, some of you, I spent a semester in Brandeis University. Spent one semester there. And there was a period of like a couple of weeks where like there were so many bad things happening. Like one person's father passed away, and then another girl's mother passed away. And there was like all these other, there was just like a lot of tsars, like a lot of like depressing news like in a row for a couple of weeks. And I remember I was feeling like really like bummed out by like all the like just bad things going on. And just like it was just one of these really negative vibes. And I remember I went into the Beis Medrash that they had there, a nice little Beis Medrash, in the basement of one of the dorms. And I remember I went to pick up Art Scroll Mishnayos, because I had signed up for Mishnayos to learn for this girl's mother who had passed away. And I was standing by the shelf and I opened the Mishnayos. I put the Mishnayos like on the edge of this bookshelf. And all of a sudden, I just like put my arm down like on the shelf, like, you know, like rested my hand against my head. I put my arm on the shelf and just like let out a sigh. And then the whole shelf collapsed. The whole thing collapsed and like the sarm went flying. I just burst out laughing and I felt so much better. I was like, whatever. Hashem, whatever. You run the world. I don't know. It was mamtik mar b'mar. It wasn't like something good happened and then I felt better. It was like, Hashem, like, give me a break and then like the bookcase collapses on me. That's your response? And I laughed, and I was just like, I was besimcha. It totally broke through like that klipa of like negativity. What does it mean to be mamtik mar b'mar? We have it in the Torah also. Moshe Rabbeinu takes a bitter stick, a bitter herb, he throws it into bitter waters, and the waters become sweet. What is that? What does it mean to be mamtik mar b'mar? To remove the bitter with bitter. Anyone? What does that mean? So that was my personal example. Sometimes, right, You can't realize, you can't become self-aware until like it gets to rock bottom. Now the bookcase collapsing wasn't rock bottom, right? But in terms of like, I asked Hashem for like, you know, give me a chance here to like feel something good, and you did something even more ridiculous. But I don't know, somehow that worked. Moshe took a bitter tree and he threw it into bitter water, and the water became sweet. Why is that? Why in mathematics do the two negatives make a positive? It's a mathematical principle. I don't know. And the great philosopher Kant was trying to prove that there's a God in the world. He looked to certain principles that were just factual, that weren't based on our perception. And math is one of the things that he wanted to use as almost a proof of a higher order. Right? Like, who created math? Who created the concepts of math, which are absolute? And why is it that negative and negative makes positive? What is that? Why is, what does it mean to mamtik mar b'mar? So again, I think it's this idea that when a person hits rock bottom, it makes it easier for one to become self-aware. A person, God forbid, has a drug addiction. So until it really smacks them in the face, until they really almost overdose, or until they end up in jail in a significant way, right, if they keep beating the system in small little ways, they don't realize what a problem they have. When they hit rock bottom, all of a sudden, it's a big bracha, because it allows them to what? To become self-aware. To realize that I need to fix something. When a person takes to heart his rebelliousness against Hashem, and before whom he has sinned. Yes, Rabbi Kalinsky. Oh, good morning. Shalom Aleichem. We're having a great time, Rabbi Kalinsky. We're having a wonderful time. When you realize the bitterness of a life of not serving Hashem, and you become even more embittered, because now you start to taste that bitterness of not serving Hashem the way you should, right? Again, if you don't care about Bava Kama, it feels much better than if you care about Bava Kama and you're not doing well in Bava Kama. If you don't care about Bava Kama, you don't care about Bava Kama. But if you humble yourself and you start to care about Bava Kama, then you realize, I don't know Bava Kama, and you start to, then life gets more bitter. But it's really getting more sweet, because now at least you start caring about Torah. That's a bracha. That's a big bracha that you started to care. So that's what he's saying here. V'nin melosha chalila efes tikva. When a person feels like, oh, now I'm like, this is the worst yet. This is not the worst yet. This is the moment where things are actually going to start to change. Turn the page. He quotes from the Rebbe of Lublin. Okay? Let's do one more point. So much here. I didn't get to anything. All right, take it slow. He quotes on the Rebbe of Lublin. You see, two lines from the top on page 26. Who says, I'll tell you another pshat in Mar. And it's actually going to tie right into Bava Kama today. We'll conclude with this point. The Choz of Lublin, Mistama. I assume he's talking about the Choz. The Choz of Lublin. Seer of Lublin. So he says, B'shem, the Rebbe of Lublin, what else does Mar mean? Mar cheshvan. Mar means bitter. What else does mar mean? What does amar mar mean in the Gemara? Amar mar means the master said, okay? And how is it used in Gemara? We're going to have it at least twice on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph today in Bava Kama. When the Gemara says amar mar, what's it doing? The master said. What does that mean? How does the Gemara use it? To what? To reference something that was cited previously. Right? You have a brisa that says, what's the source for regel? What's the source for shame? That's a whole long brisa. Now it goes back and references pieces from the brisa and analyzes it. Amar mar, we mentioned previously in the brisa. Right? So amar mar is always what? Going back to something that had been previously mentioned. Why is mar cheshon called mar cheshon? Right, Amar Mar, we're trying to go back and to deepen our appreciation for something that was mentioned earlier. We're trying to hold on to Chodesh Tishrei. The Rebbe of Lublin explained, right, the expression that we have in the piyut of Akdamas, which is on Shavuos morning, Hadar Mare Shemaya. Hadar Mare Shemaya. Shiyahadir v'yachzir hamalucha l'mare Shemaya. To return, to go back, and to restore the Malchus to the Master of the Heavens. V'hainu, that a person should know a yediya amitis, shu mashkiach al kol b'shamayim b'varetz b'shkacha pratis, that Hashem is watching over everything. And that, guess what? If you convince yourself that God is more present in Tishrei than Cheshvan, not true. Not true. God is the master over everything. Hashkacha pratis overall. Umimcha kol miyadcha nasnu lach. It's all from Hashem's hand and Hashem gives to you. Va'afilu tzipra kalila mibiladei shmaya lo matzid. Even a small bird without heavenly permission, lo matzid, can't be trapped. Everything is under Hashem's hashkacha pratis. Or as the Gemara in Chulin says, Amar Bichanina, Ein Adam Nokev Etzba, this, Chavi, you can't move your finger unless God signs off on it. Ein Adam Nokev Etzba Milamati, you can't bend your finger below, Elim Ke Machrizin Omal, unless Hashem says, I give you permission to do so. Hashem is always present. And therefore, what was the thing we mentioned earlier? He quotes it again. Ki Ram Hashem v'shafal yireh. You know how Zdikim called this month? Not Mar Cheshvan, but Ram Cheshvan. That Hashem is Ram, but he pays attention to the one who's shafal. Shim roe. Shin pei ayin. What's shin pei ayin? Shiflas atzmo. If a person sees his own lowliness, v'nid malo she'efes tikvaso, and he feels hopeless, eitzel lezeh liros ram Hashem, he has the ability to what? To look how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You look around in this month and you just feel like, this is the worst month. Maybe this is the best month. Maybe bitter Mar Cheshvan is a month where I'm not distracted by any other holidays or any other things other than to focus on Hashem Himself, to recognize the awesomeness of God. Maybe I feel humbled in Mar Cheshvan, and being humbled brings me close to Hashem. Maybe this month is filled with opportunity. Maybe in Tishrei I was distracted by my sitter, and now I can just be more honest in my relationship with God. And he quotes again from the Kozhitzer Magid, that Mar Cheshvan is what? That my lips are still moving. I don't have the machzer in my hand anymore, but my lips are still moving. I'm still trying to maintain my connection to what? To the days that passed. So part of Mamtik Mar B'mar, right, the sweetening that takes place in bitter Mar Cheshvan, is again, it's Amar Mar, it's returning to that which was, it's keeping the lips moving, it's recognizing that what? Hayom, like the name of Hashem for the month, Hayom Hazeh Hashem, that B'chol Yom Yu B'nech V'Kechadashim. It's recognizing God's Hashkacha Pratis, that Hashem is ever present in our life, and don't convince yourself that God is only available for conversation on Yom Kippur, and negotiations on Yom Kippur. Hashem Baruch Hu is always present, is always available. And again, it takes a humility, it takes Mar Cheshvan, like we saw in Unkelus, Richsha de Rachash al Ara, like a worm that's crawling on the ground, to sometimes recognize that. Sometimes in our lowest moments, we're able to appreciate the things that we never paid attention to. And that's really the brach of Mar Cheshvan. People feel so lost in Mar Cheshvan. But sometimes if you're lost in an honest way, it'll bring you to greater awareness of Hashem. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. Hashem comes back into focus in a unique way. And then v'nashuv, and then I'm able to rectify my ways. Okay, these are a lot of deep ideas. It's food for thought. There's a lot more here, and we don't have a full picture. We have to stop because it's already 10:25. Okay, but I thank you for learning Yismach Yisrael with me. And Mirtz Hashem, we should meditate on these ideas. But God forbid to walk around the Mar Cheshvan feeling like, what is this month? This is when school gets annoying, and this is when Baba Kama gets tedious, and this is when, you know, life gets busy. But view that, learn how to turn that bitterness into something sweet. To be mamtik mar b'ma. Okay? Keep the words of Tishrei on your lips. Okay.